Father, we thank you this evening for how much you have stirred our hearts. We thank you for all our services across states, across the nations, across the assemblies this morning. Thank you for the lives that were transformed through us, your vessels. We ask that in this meeting, you make us more stable, more settled, and more effective ministers of the same, such that this morning we multiplied in thousands and multiples of millions. In the name of your son Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Alright, today, as we have said, the necessity of training is very vital. Training includes teaching and other things. And so this is another of our cell leaders training. And in Matthew 28, we're going to look at so many texts of scriptures today. And I trust that our eyes will be opened to see it. We said there are four reasons why you keep trading. We said number one, to remind. Remember that? Remind people. People forget very easily. Every one of us, myself inclusive, we forget very easily. We don't hear things often. We forget. Mark 4:24, take it what you hear that you hear. The measure, according to the Amplifier, of thought and study to give to what you hear, is the measure of the virtue that comes back to you. Preacher must learn to remember. Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8, he said to Timothy, a preacher, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Verse 7, he says, consider what I said, Lord give you understanding. Which means that even for a preacher of his caliber, his status, he needed to hear things again. Remind people. Number two is to solve impending challenges, impending problems, present problems that you can see. Paul wrote many of those letters to solve present problems. For I hear 1 Corinthians 1 verse 11, for it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So you can say this has formed the basis of the letter. Contentions among who? I'm of Paul, I'm Apollos. It dealt with that in chapter 1 to 3, even to 4. Chapter 5, the brother that had his father's wife. Chapter 6, the brethren going to court, taking themselves before the unbelievers. Chapter 7, the issue of marriage. In fact, if you look at the chapter 7, and verse 1, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Chapter 8, concerning food offered to idols. There were distinctions, whether we should take it or not take it. Chapter 9, same thing as touching supporting ministers. Chapter 10, you see a background again of food offered to idols. Chapter 11, as touching the mode of worship and the conduct of both male and female. Then the food, issue of food. Chapter 12, gifts of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, ministries. 13 into 14. Then chapter 15, verse 12, some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead. So a lot of things were going on. And he wrote an entire doctrinal letter to the church in Colossae. The issue of knowledge sprung up in Philippians. The issue of handling themselves in the midst of persecution, unity, strife, and all of that. So, in training, we handle present challenges. Also, future problems. A wise man, just like a leader should be, should have foresight. Acts 20, 29. Paul says, for after my departure shall grievous wolves come. He says, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That's not happen, but it will happen. 30. Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. So you have one, present challenges, two, foreseeable challenges, and finally, to keep everybody's eyes on the ball, on the vision. people easily lose steam. Easily lose steam. The excitement that come with starting a work, starting a ministry. In fact, for some people that are used to making noise, I was heard of a brother who began a church, and that church, he first started with a concert, then he did dinner. So people came in their droves. They did inauguration the next Sunday, and people showed up in numbers, in numbers. So by the next Sunday, when church, you can't be doing that every week. A church began, and he had to open the door, he had to go and get the keyboard. Virtually everyone that should have worked, in the service, came in very late. The brother was so discouraged, he shut down the church for a while. He said, maybe God has not called me. So you have people very excited at the initial stages, not looking at challenges that may come along the way. So most of the time we need to keep our eyes on the ball. It will shock you. A man can give a prophecy at World Changers Conference about 2021. Supernatural having by the Spirit of God. And he will guide us in Holy Ghost meetings. And the next Sunday, you will see him. So we have to keep people's eyes on the ball to ensure that we are looking at it. Remember, he said to Timothy, remember, Jesus Christ, the seed of David raised from the dead. This is my gospel. Consider the things I said to you, verse 7. The Lord give you understanding. So Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus, pay attention here, said, all authority in heaven given to me, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, till the end of the age. Lo, I am with you always, in verse 20, is very comforting. Paul says, I have labored more abundantly than put together, but yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. One comforting part of ministry, particularly because you have a genuine call, you have a true vision from God, not, they say some were sent, some went. Not that you just went. Not that you just wanted to make money. You didn't get a job after school. Or your business failed. Or your certificate cannot get you anything. So, okay, let me go and pastor and make money. Or all your friends are starting a work. Then you want to do among. Then you do that. But a genuine call, when it's upon the life of a man, nothing is as comforting as knowing that God is with you. The grace of God is with you. People oftentimes ask me, how do you do this? How do you do that? Oftentimes I don't even have the answer. I just tell them, the grace of God is with me. There are certain things you don't copy. No matter how much you love a man of God, there are certain things that are a function of the grace of God. We'll see that as we proceed. So very comforting. Lo, I am with you always. Preacher of the gospel must have that at the back of his mind all the time. So Jesus sends 12 people, contestably, many of them were either in their teenage years or just coming out of it. No doubt they were young men. Young men, Acts 4:13, even the priest said it. About Jesus, their master was a young man. Naturally speaking. So they were young. Now look at the things that could emerge from them. Most of them were not married. Unmarried. Some of them had to put aside their career temporarily. Moving around with Jesus. They now became mobile career persons. Some of them had to abandon family. If you notice the things they said, these are young men. Mark 10, when Peter spoke up, Peter often spoke up because he was the eldest. So in Mark 10, lo, verse 28, we have left all to follow you. A young man. We have left all to follow you. So Jesus committing the oracles of the gospel to men of this nature knew the impending issues that will come. Those are the things we want to deal with in this short conference. When I say short, don't look at your wristwatch. These are men yet to marry. Some eventually got married because Paul said it, don't we have power to lead about a sister like Peter? Obviously because he was the first one who got married. And all the other apostles, 1 Corinthians 9 and 6, 5, as well as the other apostles, who led about the sister, married men. So that means along the line they got married. Likely also had children, commitments, here and there. Yet, Jesus committed this to them at such an early stage. I don't say this to disparage anyone, but there's nothing like serving God from your youth. It's a treasure you must keep. If you have spoken with those who are more elderly, they will tell you, keep this thing very well, oh. Keep it very well. They know what they are saying. Because they know the storms of life will come, the desires of life will come, issues will come that want to seize it from you. Keep it well, oh. Make sure you keep it well, oh. Very experienced people will tell you that. So at that age, he commits the oracles of the gospel to them. Years of training. Such that, Brother Hagin has taught us that we can see clearly, the grace upon their lives is not shared with any other person till now. They are called the foundational apostles of the Lamb of God. Such that very unique calling that they have, that the ones called his witnesses, Acts 1 verse 8, Luke 24, 48, Acts 10, 42 and 41, they are his witnesses, his own direct witnesses. So when he says, go and make disciples of every nation, Matthew 28, 19 to 20, realize that these men will take their examples, their patterns, their doctrine from the books of Genesis to Malachi, now referred to as the Old Testament, according to Luke's Gospel 24 and 25 to 27. What Jesus simply did was to take them through the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And verse 44 also to 49, Luke 24. Hence, when Paul, the apostle, when he showed up, one of the things that Paul taught the congregation that it was over, just like the apostles. He told them what not to be like. So we don't just draw doctrine from the Old Testament books. We also draw examples. Romans 15 verse 4. The things that were written for our forefathers, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. From a child we have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All scripture is given by the Spirit of God, prompting for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, where a man is growing. So, it's definite that the leadership he commits to their hands, it's not different from how God called Moses, Exodus 3 verse 4 and 5. 5, take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the land where you stand on is a holy ground. I made a promise to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and I'm sending you to fulfill that task. Nothing different from when Moses himself, in Exodus chapter 17, he had to choose 70 elders or more, we're not... Exodus 18, pardon me, where he chose elders, verse 25. Exodus 18, 25. In Exodus 24, we are now told there were 70 elders, excluding Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu's children. So, Jesus choosing this man is similar. And choosing this man, they have at the back of their minds The examples of the Exodus. The examples of the children of Israel in their transition from Egypt through to Canaan, or what we now call the Promised Land. Therefore, we'll draw examples. They are for our learning. Which means that in committing the gospel to their trust, they are expected to read the Torah, the prophets, the Psalms, to know how to conduct themselves in leadership. Because Jesus took them through the scriptures. I told you in the service today, why did he use the Psalms? Because the Psalms had David, who had the prophetic, I don't use that word often, the prophecy, or let's say prophetic intimations of a king, priest, and prophet. Therefore, in David and in Psalms, and in the life of David, which we are going to also explore today, we will see very key servant leadership illustrations. Servant leadership illustrations. So when he called them, that is why in Acts 1, verse 2 and 3, he says that he taught them things pertaining to the kingdom of God that has strong elements of 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and the Psalms of David. Kingdom. Kingdom. That's where you see kingdom. Then they asked him, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Acts 1:6 says, not for you, but to know the times, and the season of the Father puts his own power, verse 8, but you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is upon you. Don't forget that when they were preaching, just like Philip, they preached the kingdom of God. So there were strong elements of the Psalms, strong elements teaching doctrine from 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Kings. Very strong elements of leadership, servant leadership. So that congregation, you see, you learn examples from there. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul, 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 5. With many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Look at the background of what he was saying. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That means the servant that God used for this work was Moses. He all ate the same spiritual meat given by who? Moses. Drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. He's talking about Moses' ministry. He said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after the evil things, as they also lost it. Why is he saying this? Because in chapter 3, he has said, I could not speak unto you as the spiritual, even as unto carnal. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That, okay, even though you are born again, you have the spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 12. I can see that you're born again. But I'm seeing traits of numbers. I can see elements of numbers. Elements of numbers. The book of Numbers. I fed you with milk. The phrases he's using here are Exodus phrases. I fed you. Moses fed them. Are you following? I have fed you. He didn't say Christ fed you. That would be the way Christocentric. I'm Christocentric. Don't get bothered about that phrase. What man? He said, no, it's Christ that fed you. Paul said, no, I fed you. Oh, it's Christ that took them to the sea. Paul says, Moses. We'll see something in a moment. You are yet carnal, for wherein is among you envying, strife, verse 3, and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as mere men. While one said, I'm of Paul, another I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave every man. I have planted, Apollo watered, God gave the increase. So, Paul is letting us see that behind the minister is God's grace, God's choice, God's power, God's spirit. But you cannot separate what God is doing from the minister that he uses. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he points something out very critically. He says in verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Look at the things he listed. He said in 7, some sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, referring to idol worship via fornication, sexual immorality. Some did commit fornication, some committed in one day 3,000, some tempted Christ, were destroyed of the serpent. That's verse 9. Then he says here, some also murmured. Murmured. In our day, murmuring happens to look legitimate. Many of us grew up murmuring to our parents. Maybe when you leave your father's room, you shut the door. No, you close the door gently. As you are going, just. Then, even my mom is there, what's going on? He said, no, my leg is maybe. You know, you grow up that way. A teacher leaves the class. As he leaves, he drops on the assembly. On the assembly ground. The principal says something. I remember one time that guy went to the assembly ground. Principal says something. SS2, SS1. He said, kneel down there. We're there the whole day. Murmuring. Complaining. Normal. You're in a nation, you complain. Getting the boss, people complain. The very people that are praying. Oh God, bless me in this country. Oh God, bless my job. They get in the boss, they complain. Oh, nothing works in this nation. Nothing works in this city. Nothing works. So it's like a culture. If you open your Twitter, if you open your Facebook, you are likely to have a friend who has the grace of complaining. So you have people that are just given to complaining. We complain about our clubs. It's not playing the right guy. It's not playing this guy. So it's like a culture. Complain about your children. Complain about your husband. The guy you want to marry, you are complaining. The one you are yet to marry, you are complaining. The one you are married, you are complaining. The marriage, you are complaining. So it looks legitimate. Very legitimate. You drive, you are complaining. You are driven, you are complaining. You walk, you are complaining. They walk past you, you are complaining. Before you know it, you develop a culture where you think it is legitimate to complain. Now, look at how Paul painted this. He said they were baptized into Moses and they were murmuring to complain. Some even do it in the churches. Some do it everywhere. They are always complaining. Last year, the nation woke up to people just complaining. I saw preachers say things as bad as this nation is doomed. A preacher of the gospel. Wow. Then he will kneel down kwashokomikalikali to pray for a nation he just called doomed. Some are always always preaching, the body of Christ has missed it. The body of Christ has missed it. We have missed it. We have not gotten it. We should not get it. We will never get it. That is why God will never use them. God does not use murmurers. Murmurers. Now, look at the concept of murmuring. I want you to see something. Very important. Exodus. How were they murmuring? Because some of us think that the murmuring was in their prayer closet. They just go, oh Lord, Lord, what is going on? No. Let's see the murmuring. Exodus 15, verse 24. Pay attention to details. Pay attention to details. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, verse 23, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of the place was called Marah. Let's take 24 together. And the people murmured against who? Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Exodus 16, 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against who? Moses. Verse 7. Moses then said to you of Israel in 6, in the morning when you see the glory of the Lord, for he that hears your murmurings against the Lord, what are we that you should murmur against us? That you are murmuring against God. Exodus 17 verse 3. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against who? Moses. Numbers 14. So I will never murmur against God, but only that pastor. Only, I can't do it. I only did it against a man. Numbers 14 verse 2. Again, and all the children of Israel murmured against who? Moses and Aaron. Verse 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? Oh no! I didn't do it to God. I did it to... One of the things that God does when he calls men to lead us, he puts his honor on them. He puts his grace on them. And so how we treat them is how we treat God. Numbers 14:29. You have murmured against me. 36. You murmured against him by bringing up slander. They murmured against him. Moses is used there. Numbers 16, verse 11. What caused you both and all your company gather together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? Verse 41. Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Exodus 17 verse 5. It shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I have chosen shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurs of Israel whereby they murmur against you, Moses. Exodus 22. I'll read that again. Numbers 17 verse 5. Whereby they murmur against you. Numbers 22 and verse 8. Interestingly, the word here is to lodge here this night. An abode, that word is where the word murmur is from. The Hebrew word means to abide in something. To stay. So, murmuring requires endurance. The word there is lewn. L-U-W-N. To grudge all day, to grudge continually. It's not just in the congregation that you can do it. Some say, well, I didn't do my own in church. I did it in the house. It's a revenge of the one. And verse 27. Show me 1:27. For you murmured in your tents. You didn't do it publicly. You murmured, you complained in your tent. Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And verse 25. They murmured where? In their tents. And hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord your God. I tell some of you, it's not just what you do publicly. It's what you do privately. You murmured at home, murmured in church. Mumbling here is not to an invisible God. It's to his servants. We see it play itself. John 6:43. The murmured against Jesus. Murmured not among yourselves. 41 also. The murmured at him. The complaint. Not comfortable. They didn't like what he was saying. Verse 61. The disciples murmured, does this offend you? So murmuring comes from the place of offense. Comes from the place of offense. Mark 14. Okay, John 7:32. Pharisees heard that the people murmured some things against him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Mark 14 verse 5. Mark 14 and verse 5. This is indirect mumbling. Somebody gives to Jesus, a woman, and they complained. They complained. Luke 5 and verse 30. Pharisees and the scribes murmured against the disciples. Luke 15:2, the moment that Jesus was eating with a sinner. Luke 19:7, murmur at his actions. Why should he do this? Have you found yourself doing it? Why should he do this? And this can happen in the congregation of the believers. Paul thus warns the church at Corinth. Obviously, there was murmuring going on in Corinth, bringing divisions. In Jude, okay, Acts 6:1, told you the Hebrew word is the word loon, L-U-W-N, to grudge continually, to complain, to make sounds, to be uncomfortable. Acts 6:1. The widows complained, they murmured. 1 Peter 4:9. 1 Peter 4:9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Somebody comes to visit you. You are not saying anything, but you are not comfortable. You are complaining. 1 Peter 4:9. Jude 16. Jude 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their whole lust. And their mouth speaks grace-swelling words, having men's personal admiration because of advantage. They have complainers, even those who preach. But look at Paul. 1 Corinthians 10:10. He says, don't be a murmurer. What did I say? Don't be. Neither murmur ye. Do not murmur. Philippians 2 and 14. Murmuring means complaining. Philippians 2 verse 14. Let's read that one together. Philippians 2, 14. 1, 2, go as a house. I wait for you. Let's do it again. Do all things without mumblings and disputing. Can you do that? All things without mumbling. So this is the congregation Paul was dealing with. You know, but I thought they were just Exodus. Two numbers. Well, when you walk in the flesh, that is what you are going to produce. It will look justifiable in our world where complaining is now glorified. People are said to be speaking their mind. Speak out. I don't know what that one is for though. You are speaking out. Complaining and grumbling. So Jesus sends his men out. Now the key thing I said to show you was, though they were doing it to Aaron and Moses, they were doing it to God. When you sow to the flesh, Galatians 6 and 7 says, you will of that flesh reap corruption. So both leadership, followership, congregation, pastor, no murmuring. Philippians 4, after telling them not to murmur, Philippians 2:14, it says in verse 4, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness, moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. For prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God that passeth all human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ. Therefore, finally, my brethren, whatever things are pure, is there any virtue, any praise? Think on these things. Which means complaining is a function of uncontrolled thoughts. Some of us, we can think wildly and widely. How do you think? Do you have control over your mind? Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without wall. No rule. Sit down somewhere, your mind is fantasizing imaginations. Before you know it, your mind will get into trouble. Anxiety will set in. Murmuring will set in. Offenses will set in. You control your mind. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, in Christian leadership, as we have defined it from scripture, servant leadership. We have a cell leaders conference. Everybody here has such responsibility. Myself
inclusive.
We call it the small groups in the church or churches in the church. You have that duty. And so, you have that duty to draw examples from the books of scripture. You have that duty to also draw wisdom from the scriptures. In Exodus chapter 17, we see the first incidents, 18, where Jethro came to Moses and he saw him. Verse 12 and 13, how he sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto the evening. Then he said, what is this thing that you are doing? Why thou sittest alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Then he said, that thing which you do is not good. But thou surely will wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken unto me, I will give thee counsel. God be with thee. Verse 19. Be thou for the people of God, to God was, sorry, that thou mayest bring their causes to God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances, laws, and thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work where they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. So say able men. Such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. And Moses did exactly like that in 25. So we see an example of men who began to take care of small groups, or smaller groups, pardon me. The first thing he says is provide. That provision includes training, mentorship, ordination, setting into positions, which we have done in this assembly. Exodus 3 is where Moses was called. Exodus 3, 5 through to 14 through to 4. And so, he's to provide elders. Just like Jesus, in Mark 3, 14, they were to be with him, then he sent them to preach. With him, training. With him, teaching, instructing. Like Moses, provide them. So it is responsibility on a leader to provide other leaders. The moment you stop providing servant leadership under you, then the work is dying. Providing leadership. Like I taught you at the open data classes, church must keep having smaller groups because of the nature of its ministry. So who are these elders? Put it down. One, they are servant leaders. They lead by service. That's the first thing. It's different from worldly positions. These ones lead by service. Two, they are teachers. They teach scriptures. They are not teaching us how to dress, except it's theology. They are not saying, oh, you know, this is how to do this. Someone approached me. He said, can I come to your church? Somebody I know. He said, I've done this for other churches. I want to come and teach the ladies, sisters, makeup, this and that, beauty. She's a nationally renowned person. I know her very well. I've known her since she was a child. She writes for the magazines. She said, because you are my egbon, I will do it free. Free poison. I said, not because he was my sister kind of, I said, let's talk about it later. So we spoke sometime ago, 2017. She said, you're later. I said, let's talk about that one too later. That's not my job. I go anywhere. Just make sure that when you come to church, you are dressed. That's all. Teacher of the statutes. Very clear. Even when they bring secular issues, they guide them by the word. It's good to chip in what you know. If you're a lawyer, you help those under you chip in. Okay, you should do this. If you're a medical doctor, you give an advice as a doctor. Oh, why not do this? Why not do that? And all that you can, a businessman. But that is not your job. That's not your job. So when they don't take your counsel in that area, don't be offended. It's not your job. You are not professionally qualified to do it. It's not your job. There are people in this congregation that advise me on secular things because they know better. It's that simple. They know far better. So it's not your job. But yours is, in spite of what they do for a living, what is God's theology about their conduct? That's your job. To teach. You are also a counselor. You are a counselor. You are a counselor. That's what you are. To teach from God's word. Someone says, sir, the boy, I want to marry the man and the woman. She's melancholy. She's sanguine. Then you say, sanguine and melancholy must not marry. Oga? Are you drunk? Even if you are drunk, let it settle down before you cancel. Let it settle down. Even if you are drunk, let it settle down. You must be drunk. Say no. For example, there are people that provide medical advice before marriage. I've had the calls to cancel people I know. And they say, medically, they should not get married. Medically. But I said, that's just medically. And I will say it. But this is not speaking as a pastor. As a pastor, I have no such instructions. Basic. But I can provide an advice by the side, which can also be useful. You trust my heart that, whatever is telling me, even though it's secular and natural, it is led by the Spirit of God. But what if they get a better information than you do? So be it. So it says, concerning their ways, you put them through by the statutes, by the word. By the word. You are also to pray for them. To teach them scriptures. To counsel them. So you are a counselor. You are what? You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. You are a counselor. I remember something Nora Roberts said. One day, he was with Casey Treat. Was it Casey Treat or Tim Story? One of them. And then, someone was calling and saying, and then, Casey Treat, I think, said, this boy is disturbing me again. And Robert said, no. The people of God do not disturb the servant of God. That is your job. Your life is an offering. What did I say? If you are not ready to be busy with lives, go and find something else to do. I advise you, if you are not ready to be busy with lives, busy,
Busy with lights. I finished 3 services. I was supposed to come here. I still saw people. Oh, prayed with some. Before this, throughout the week, I was either teaching, studying, praying, and all of that. Yesterday, still spent hours in the morning. That's what you are to be busy with lives. You should be preoccupied. You are a counselor. That's what you are. What else? You are a shepherd. A shepherd feeds, leads. Like a shepherd. The difference in somebody who is teaching and a shepherd feeds you. A teacher wants to show you how much insight he has. As a traveling minister, it made no difference to me whether you understood or not. I'll just give you bogus revelations. Bogus, ambiguous, extraneous teachings. When I began to pastor some 22 years ago, 23, I had to have some sense. It's time to feed people. You now start looking for channels where they will practice the word. They practice the word, then things will come to your hearing. You start getting involved in their lives. Where are you living? How do you take care of yourself? What is going on? Let's pray together. Let's believe God together. The guy's ill. You went to check him. You prayed for him. Get him an hospital at the same time. He just lost a parent. You have to call. Pray. That's different from just teaching. You are now involved. You sit down. The guy is not doing well. You sit down. Sit down. I'm not saying he's not rich, but not, what is going on? Let's pray together. Let's believe God. What's going on? That is the shepherd. You are also a prophet over their lives to speak the word of the Lord by the Spirit. So you must be a person of the Holy Ghost. Acts 6:3. Full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost. So your job is multidimensional. Counselor, teacher, shepherd, a father. You are also a father. A father. Someone who nurtures a child. A father. So it's responsibility. That's why disciples, they are excited that they have made pastors. What is exciting you? There's nothing to be excited over. Yes, I'm excited God has chosen me, but that's all to it. The work of ministry is a sober work. It's not how dressed you are. So people that they now start to get suits. Maybe somebody told me, a young sister, then some 18 years ago, she said, that your car is a man of God's car. What's a man of God's car? An emojis car. Emoji suits. Emoji this one. Nonsense. Your work is a sober one. So you're a cell leader. You also bear the evangel, the good news. This elders were supposed to also carry with them the promise God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Moses. Paul would now tell Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. So meetings like this are for you. This is how we provide such leadership. You can't expect that a leader will only feed on the regular things we give in services. No. The leader, we must have leaders' meetings. As your cell begins to grow and fellowship, I begin to develop self telling people, you must separate them aside. Where you begin to instruct them, you provide that leadership. So meetings like this are for you.
leaders, servant leaders. Numbers 11, for example, we saw that earlier. Well, the Spirit of God was on these elders. They began to prophesy. So look at Paul. In Acts 19 verse 2, he met these 12 folks. Have you received the Holy Ghost? You believe we've not ever been the Holy Ghost. Or to what then were you baptized? On John's baptism, there's a John, verily preached, but the repentance said to the people that you believe on Jesus, come after him, that's on Jesus Christ. And when he heard those things, the present name of the Lord beside, then he laid hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came in and spoke to them and prophesied. Now Paul, after the exploits of Acts 19, which we are going to also see, great move of God, he left the place. When he was coming back, notice verse 17, Acts 20, go there. He called for the elders, your most crucial meetings are with such men. He called for the elders. Elders. Special meetings, irregular meetings. Acts 1:21-22. How are we going to replace Judas, who was with us all the time as we're coming in and going out? Anyone that can't be available for this, no leadership. You have to be there all the time. And Jesus did not take a single vacation. All the time. Listen carefully. And it's not in all the meetings he was teaching, but his lifestyle was. All the time. Acts 1:22. Mark 3:14. He took them to pray. Matthew 17:1-5. Luke 9. Took them to pray. In Luke 24:25-27, precisely Luke 24, from verse 38 down to 49:52, he separated them again. You must have such trainings. Regular. Acts 1:2. He gave a commandment by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen. So, when Paul was returning, the only people he spoke to were the leaders. Call for the elders of the church. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything. Everything. He called for the elders. Don't forget the CV they had. He told them in Acts 20 that he spent 3 years. So say 3 years. Every day. Acts 20. Verse 31. Every day. Now look at you. We have mocked people that go for Bible schools. Who will leave their nation. Go to Tulsa. For example, River Bible Training Center. And spend 2 years. Doing nothing. Studying Bible, praying, and learning the word. What have they learned? Because oftentimes we have gotten leadership on a platter of nonsense. A man can quote scripture pentomically, can put together some Christocentricity of scripture, can just bamboozle us with some half-baked Greek words. That man's what man. Put him there. No commitment to time. 3 years. Not that after second service is rushing home. No. Oh, the guy only shows up midweek service, Sunday service, not a leader. He shows up for camp meeting, not a leader. That is why we made it a prerequisite here. You cannot be absent at certain meetings. You can't be. You have to be present. All the time. Yet, after 3 rigorous years, Acts 20:20, publicly, house to house, Paul still found it necessary. 1, to teach them all over again. 2, to keep writing them letters. Don't forget, in Acts 19, when you read so mightily grieved the word of God and prevailed, in verse 20, it was through this man that grown, preaching the word, preaching men. Now, notice something. In Acts 19, we often stop at verse 20, but things happened after. For example, in verse 26, 27, 28, persecution was raised against Paul. And 29, the whole city was filled with confusion. 20, the whole city is filled with the word. 29, confusion. Having caught Gaius, Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in trouble, they wrote with according to the theater, and Paul would not enter in on the people, the disciples offered him not. So Paul experienced such great difficulties, troubles. Which means that there was a flowing, dandy period, looking good. The world was moving mightily, miracles were being done, blind eyes opened, deaf ears and stopped. The world was growing, then as it always happens, trouble will come. You can't be in the ministry and run from trouble. How? Trouble came. And so, for the sake of the work, Paul commits the work to this guy. So that's why in Acts 20, he told them. Acts 20. Look at verse 18. You know, from the first day I came to Asia, after the manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears, temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. So they saw it. They saw he faced trouble. In fact, the trouble he faced here, he wrote about in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at it, 16. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9. But I'll tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effectual door is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. Listen carefully to what I'm about to show you. Beasts. He fought with beasts. Now, the word used here in the Greek is stereomachio. I speak to the word therion. T-H-E-R-I-O-N. Is used for demonic activity. Mark 1:13. That leads to our subject for this evening. I was yet to get to it. I'm about to get to it. Mark 1:13. The temptation of Jesus. Mark 1:13. We found beasts. They were in the wilderness 40 days, Jesus, tempted of Satan, and was with wild beasts. Figurative. Acts 10:12, we saw beasts referring to people and persons, activities. Titus 1 and 12. The creeds are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Titus 1:12. Revelation 6 and 8, Revelation 11:7. I have read about 13 to 20. You see beasts showing demonic activity in the earth. You find things like serpents, trample upon serpents and scorpions and overall the power of the enemy. Luke 10, 19. You shall take up serpents. Mark 16, 18. I send you in the midst of wolves. Matthew 10, 16. Who are wise as serpents. Matthew 10, 16. Matthew 23:33, you vipers, generation of vipers, brood of vipers. And Jesus was talking about men, demonic activity.
So which means, a man of God must be ready to fight. Ephesus, the work is growing, the word is growing, yet the beast showed up. Now look at the comparison that Paul made in 1 Corinthians 15, 32. In 33, he says, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, I want us to look at this text together. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. The word communication here, the Greek word homilia, homilia, H-O-M-I-L-I-A, homilia. From another word, homilio, H-O-M-I-L-E-O, it means people you talk to personally, intimately. In Luke 24:14, for friends, and 15, likely his wife, Cleopas, likely his wife. Acts 20, verse 11. People Paul talked to in a secluded place. Acts 24:26. So when it says evil communication, it refers to interaction via words. It says it corrupts good manners. So as a preacher, you must be careful who talks to you and what you listen to. They corrupt it. They corrupt it. Good manners. There are things you will read. There are things you will watch. And it will contaminate your ministry. They corrupt good manners. And Paul is talking about doctrine here. Because he says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 12. That there are some in your midst who preach that the resurrection, there is none like that. Who say it? 1 Corinthians 15, 12. So you can't be too careful of things that you watch. And I always say, what exactly are you really looking for? You are in a ministry that is taught the word. In fact, you even find other ministries come to learn there. So what are you looking for? That you now get something in your mind and you're not thinking and thinking and thinking. So what are you looking for? Some have not come to say, well, I have a different view on this matter. I have a different view. There is no such thing as the resurrection. With deep insights, with Greco-Roman writings, exegetica. Now, this is what happened to Judas. Jesus in Matthew 16:12 warned his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. But he was careless. See, I refuse to be careless. There's none of us that does not think about what he hears. Even if your hard drive is contaminated, you still think. Be careful. So a key element in what we're looking at, when you are called to oversee lives, when you are called to preach the gospel, teach the gospel, I'm talking about doing evangelism. I'm saying the moment you are set over the people of God, know this clearly. You are at war. Many of us don't seem to know this. Sometimes when I hear you talk, I have the privilege sometimes to hear some of you say, Pastor, you know, I look at you and say, what did you think you got into? You think this is jellyoshimi that is for kids, just give them bread and fish? You think this is a secular work? No, it's not. Paul says, I fought beasts. Oh, no, Paul, which beasts? They're just men that don't agree with you.
Men that raise an insurrection against you, come and stop acting that way. Paul says, no, they are beasts that I fought. I fought spiritual beings. Do you know that the believer who is in the ministry is a warrior? You are a warrior. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. Verse 3 to 4. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you. Do soldiers serve food at parties? No. Are they trained to coach teams? No. Are they trained to entertain? No. They are trained for war. To keep, maintain peace, maintain the territorial integrity, sovereign integrity of nations. Wage war against incoming armies. So then you are called a soldier. In fact, he said, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has chosen him to be what? A soldier. So, in being a shepherd, a teacher, a counselor, an overseer, a prophet of God's people, you are also at war. That war. As a team, we are an army. Like the song we sang, we are an army. And like T.L. Osborne said, there are no sissies. You have to be ready to fight. You see down there, yeah, I don't know what's even going on. The four members, very committed. Suddenly, they are not committed. And they start complaining. Oh, well, I don't know. We have four men. Satan just got you where he wanted you. You think you are into a sociological thing? No. It's not psychological. It's a spiritual walk and a spiritual war. Together, we fight here as a team. In Exodus 17, look at what we do to each other. And we're not stupid. Say, I'm not stupid. When you look at a church, a ministry, who thrives in the world, they fight together. You know, there's the fighting. Let me watch how he will do it. No! We don't do that as a church. We don't do that as a church. Oh! It seems like your leader, your zonal pastor, your church pastor is at war. You can see it. Then you now say, look at his arm. Look at his legs. Look at. And you're a leader. You are stupid. In Exodus 17, they were at war. Moses was there. Joshua was there, and also Aaron. Joshua did verse 10 as Moses said to him, and fought with the Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and all went up to the top of the hill. Came to pass, when Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him and sat there on. They were doing it together. Aaron and all stayed his hands, and one on one side, the other on the other side, and their hands were steady until the going down of the sun. That is how to walk together in ministry. God will always choose one person. But we can walk together.
We can choose that, oh, seems like the ham is going down, let's steady it. We'll be describing it as, how come his hand is going down? Is he not a man of God? That's how some people watch, till the entire ministry goes down. Times to steady the hands, they are tweeting. Times to steady the hands, they are talking, they are gisting. They are not doing what they should be doing. Ministry is war. Paul and Timothy fought on the same side. That is why he could leave Timothy in a place to fight. We are fighting together. The things are going to be among many witnesses, committed to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. They fought together. I've told you before. When we are together, there's nothing we cannot achieve. When we are apart, forget it. There's nothing we can do. You fight as a team. Even a football team. One guy can cost you a tournament. One fellow. I'm told that there's some games. One guy can sell the game. You just say, when you want, just play in my side. Just come to my side. Don't worry. The goalkeeper can sell the game. But one particular, very popular goalkeeper, not in Africa, but he rose to the top, and they found out he sold games. He sold, so a guy on your team can sell out. Tell me the guy, and he just looked away. Here, they fought together. So the wars of the Old Testament have become illustrations. We don't fight physical wars. We are men of the spirit. But Hebrews 11, verse 33. It mentioned Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. If you know these men, they were men of war. They are not worship leaders. They are not ushers. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Brought righteousness, that's what he called it, Dagozune. Obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fly the armies of the aliens. So do we have things to learn? Do we have things to learn? So do we learn from Moses, Aaron, or and Joshua? Yes. How we should walk as a team. When you are in a team, even though you are an individual, you play for the team. Don't allow, they asked the coach one time of the Nigerian team, why he didn't pick a particular player. He said he's always playing to the gallery. And the fans will be hailing him, hey. In fact, in the government collective, like I said this one, they had a footballer like that, Peter Omolabi, was my senior. It wasn't from five, it wasn't from one. I will go to the stadium. Because he was a dribbler. So he would just take the ball. He would start to dribble. He would dribble. He would dribble. He would dribble. He would dribble. 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 Then he just dribble. Consistently. One day, we were not playing at Olumale Stadium. We were two go up. Because I was in the supporter scene. What are the songs we used to sing? I can't sing them here. It's not good for the church. We sang the song. So, at 2-0, we were hailing the team. 2-0, 2-0. Peter started to join. He was joining. They collect the ball. They scored 2-1. 2-2! Ha! 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 Before we knew it, Peter wanted to join again. They injured him. 3-2! 4-2! It was more particular about moving the gifts of the Spirit than edifying the church. Just displaying skills was entertaining us, not playing for the team. How many of you have been in a team where the guy is just dribbling? You feel like slapping his face. We want to score the goal. They are dribbling. dribbling.
You play for the team. In leadership, we work together.
It's a team.
And every team has a leader.
So,
they fought together. In Exodus 17, they steadied his hands. We walk together. Say we walk together. They steadied his hands till they won. Exodus 17. And Moses said, it is the Lord, verse 14, our banner. Verse 15, Jehovah Nissi. So we learn to war together. We're not in competition.
Oh, you are not happy that someone's fellowship is struggling while yours is growing.
No, we walk together.
As soon as you see, you begin to pray. You begin to pray for that brother, that sister.
Exodus 15.
So, ministry is war. What did I say? It's war! It's war! It's war!
Exodus 15, 13.
See, what God is called, verse 3. The Lord is a man of war.
The Lord is his name.
Isaiah 42 and verse 13. Isaiah 42, 13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. Like a man of war, he will stir up passion. That's what jealousy. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. It tells us the kind of warrior he is. I've sworn I will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So our war and the weapons are not violent ones. They are not violent ones. They are weapons of war, but not violent ones. War simply means conflict. What did I call it? Conflict. Psalm 144 verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Say, God teaches me to war and to fight. That means you're in a conflict. Psalm 144 verse 1. It teaches you to war and your fingers to fight. You war not with weapons of violence. No. No. That's why John says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. He says, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The fan is in his hand. He will purge with unquenchable fire. A lamb? So in the vision of God said, the lamb went to war. That's a figure of speech. An oxymoron. So, we war like Jesus. But it is a conflict. Something is a conflict. So, always expect conflict. What did I say? What did I say? So, you are a teacher. You are a shepherd, a counselor, a prayer leader, a minister of the spirit, a prophet. You are also what? A warrior. You can't be thinking that on myself. I'm not a fighter. You are a fighter. The work of the ministry is to fight. When you see men and women of God rise through the rubbles, live 10 years, 30, 40, 50 years in ministry, it's a product of war. Not comfort. Not an easy ride. You are a soldier. That is why
in the parables of Jesus, in Luke 14, he uses the parable of a soldier. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not want war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We cast down imaginations. We pull them down. We fight, bringing to subjection warlike forms. War! Not by complaining. War! Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take unto yourself what? The whole armor, panoply in the Greek, of God. That you may be able to resist. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Military terms. And it's talking about the preaching of the gospel. Say we're in a wrestle. We're in a wrestling, sorry. Say again, we're in a wrestling. We're in a fight. Remind yourself. Did you hear me? Remind yourself all the time. How can you be at war and saying, why would they shoot? So why are they using real bullet? Why not water gun? You think this is a joke? You shouldn't have said that to me. And I love God. Are you a baby? I thought I'm serving God. Things should be. As a younger preacher, I didn't know this. I wondered. One week, discouragement, depression, oppression, bad dreams, all happened in 1 week. Public shame. I'll come home, they're hitting me. I'll go to brethren, they're hissing. Even the souls that were giving me comfort, that were teaching the word, they said they're not hearing again. So I wanted to run away. Yet, I was busy prophesying to the nation. Even in a town I could not stay. I'm talking about nations. It's a war. You are at war. That's why the word take on the old armor of God is a present tense continue. You don't say I wore it last night. No. You wear it again. So, you are a shepherd. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Even though you are a shepherd over the sheep, you must yet act like a sheep. One fundamental thing you must do in ministry, in leadership, is to act like a sheep. David is the shepherd. Shepherd over Israel. Yet he says, the Lord is my shepherd. In Psalm 100, verse 3, he describes himself like a sheep. Psalm 100, verse 3. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 95 and verse 7. He is our God, we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Psalm 78, verse 52. Psalm 78 and verse 52. He made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Psalm 79 and verse 13. We thy people, the sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever, will show forth thy praise to all generations. Even though you are a shepherd, you must have the attitude of a sheep. Never lose your innocence. Did you hear what I'm saying? This is a tendency. It's a tendency. A tendency to start to receive the word of God like a man of God. You are setting yourself up to trouble. You must act like a sheep. Did you hear me? One of the descriptions of Jesus
our Lord. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Verse 7. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers. Dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. This was what the Enoch was in Acts 8:32. So Jesus himself is called a sheep. Can you imagine? An attitude of innocence. He did not open his mouth back. Some of us, little position. You begin to wear shoulder pad. You get to the service. You no longer write notes like you used to. You start to write in italics. Prayer meetings. All the things you will do because you are now a pastor. Fellowship pastor. Zona pastor. Church pastor. Pastor of Saints Community Church. G.O. Senior man of God. As a shepherd, you must have the heart of a sheep. Innocent. Don't get somewhere and your attitude is so ridiculous. So ridiculous. So funny. A guy goes to a place to preach. And he says, what hotel are you putting me? What is the color of the bed sheet? What kind of fridge? What are you putting? Come on. Are you crazy? And he gets there. Begins to behave like a man of God. He gives his Bible to someone to carry for him. He almost gives his leg for them to carry. Who are you? Who are you? Behave yourself. Because you now lead the flock. You now teach people. Yes, sir. Bless you, sir. Bless you, sir. Pastor, the man of God. Before you know it, that is how you will sit in the congregation. That's how you sit. That's how you see yourself. I don't think like that. When I'm seated where you are, I don't. Not at all. I've learned not to be an idiot. You will miss too many things. Because the reason why you are doing that is because of people. If you are serving God sincerely, you cannot think about how people are going to see you. Not at all. Be a sheep. Did you hear me? In Matthew 10:16, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Our attitude should be that of a sheep. What's a sheep? A sheep is innocent, sacrificial, and is also led. So one, maintain your what? Innocence. Did you hear that? Maintain your innocence. When you are wrong, say you are wrong. Is that clear? Don't begin to talk like a pastor. Thank you, sir. But then, sir, what happened to you? Before you were made a pastor or a cell leader, everything, yes sir, okay sir, and you're going to do it. Now you are giving an opinion. You are now a man of God. You know why? Because you are now used to being the only person talking. Pride has entered. Be sheep. Listen. Learn to listen. When you start seeing yourself talk more than you listen, trouble has started. Don't start to get argumentative because you are now talking, acting like a leader. No. Be sheep. Be innocent. Two. Be sacrificial. Three. The sheep is led. Say, I'm led. So three things about what I just said. One, walk in the spirit. That deals with your character. Walk in the spirit. Always walk in the spirit. What I'm doing now, is this the fruit of the spirit? Is this self-control? Is this loyalty? Is this meekness? Is this humility? Is this the joy in the Holy Ghost? Is this patience? Or is this lasciviousness? You suddenly become very loose because you are now a man of God. Very loose. Very loose. No!
Like sheep.
A shepherd must also be what?
Sheep.
The way you were talking to your pastor before you became a pastor
should never change.
The way you listen before you became a pastor should never change. The way you respond. Oh, your pastor says something. Want to give a suggestion? Say, sir, permit me if I can just say something. I mean, it's subject to your opinion. So that is how. Don't say it hypocritically. Oh. Say it from your heart. The first thing that how you must talk is that, look, I am open to correction. I am likely to be wrong. Not that I think I know what he does not know. You are not talking like a shepherd alone. Be sheep. Listen. Pay attention. Listen. Take wisdom. Take correction. Walk in the Spirit. Also be led by the Spirit. Don't get to a point where you think you have everything figured out. No. No. As your pastor, I don't think like that. I have under my belt some years of ministry. But I'm smart enough. If I look back at the years gone by, I know it is a function of the leading of the Spirit. I can't outgrow it. I can't outgrow that innocence I should always have. Always. I can't outgrow it. I mustn't get to a point as your pastor where I think I can never be wrong. May I never get to that point. But equally, you shouldn't be as stupid as thinking my pastor can be wrong. Let me do this part. You do your own part. May I never get to that point where I have that assumption, that thinking. No, I can be wrong. A heart of a sheep. Learning to be led. Something that pray over something again. Let's pray over this again. Let's pray over it again. And again. And again. I can come to a meeting. I have many sermons under my belt. I can take it out and begin to preach. But many times I say, Lord, what do you want me to say? Spend time praying. Spend time praying. I remember the last World Changers Conference. What I normally do at those meetings, particularly World Changers Conference, and maybe the workers meeting, just like this one, I spend weeks before it, days before it, just praying, Lord, I know how it works. Just give me exactly what to say. That is what you want people to know. Nothing in my head, nothing I'm trying to figure out. No. I remain that boy who will sit in the sitting room at Latin Children's Day Street number 13, and is there, and he holds his Bible, and he says, to keep your lovely face ever before my eyes. I remain that boy who had just one person in the flock and was praying diligently. I remain that small boy that will get so persecuted and will cause his abilities on me and many about them. I say, help me, pray with me. I remain that boy. Nothing more. Men may see me as something. You know me alone. You know the things I battle in my mind. You know who I am. And so, I'm not fooled by how men see me. I stay innocent. Be that innocent brother, that innocent sister. Be led by the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Don't get to the point where you think you are all by yourself and for yourself. That is the fastest route to disaster. So we are fighting. We are fighting. You are fighting a war. You are in this world, but you are not in this world. You know what I'm saying? We are in this world. We are not talking about, 608 Street. We are in the midst of ideas, theories, philosophies, most of which are backed up by spirits. There is no philosophy, no idea that does not have a spirit behind it. None. And that is the world where we function. So, say we are at war.
That means you should, some of you have done cadet before. Some of you have done what do you call it, NYSC. In government college, my first and second year, I think, we used to have cadet classes. Because government college used to, so we have cadets. They say, pray, chop, and then they say, take a position. Find in one place. So, you hear, then the commandant will pass by. Pass by. If my government college was such thing that we used to have prefects or cadet, call them 2IC. I think my own set was, the commander was, Obaboli Yemi, 2IC was Sheku Akisoya. How many of you've seen any video like that of my class set? And when we did our anniversary, is when they do a match pass for you. Cadet is a practice of government college. You must. In your first and second year, then, I don't know about now, you have to have cadet classes. And it's compulsory. So the man will be passing by. And they say, you must take a position of a soldier in your fellowship. What position do you take? You know, we can deceive a security man. We just give him one finger to distract him. Or they have gone inside to steal everything. Everything. You lose your job, lose your mind, lose everything. You take a position. There is no time you are not at war. Even when you're on vacation. I was traveling one time, I was coming from America to Nigeria, 2015. I'd missed my flight. So I came in around Christmas, unplanned. So I flew through airports, I'm not sure how many. I observed on Christmas Day, I was in the air. I said, these people are all at their duty posts. All. Imagine if everybody in the world goes on a holiday at the same time. In fact, there will be nowhere to go and do holiday. Because even though that you open the place, we'll have gone elsewhere. Imagine everybody decides. That's why I tell some folks, imagine if everyone took your excuse. Be at attention. Attention! Something military people understand. Be strong in the Lord. Having done all to stand! Stand! Even when politics is going on, football, societal issues, you are at war. So Acts 20-28, Paul says, one, in this war, take it to yourself. The first battleground is your life. What did I say? The first battleground is where? Your life. Your conduct. Your appetites. Your ambitions. Look at your appetites. Unusual sexual desires. It will move from masturbation. From masturbation, desire to have sex, and anyhow and anywhere, and with anybody. David was caught there. How? A cool afternoon. He was just browsing, checking Netflix, checking YouTube, checking his phone, seeing former friends. Samson was just like that. Noah, alcohol, food, also sleep, Jonah, to sleep off, sleep. The disciples were caught sleeping when Jesus was praying. Check your appetite. Don't say, well, it's just sleep. I love to sleep. I love. It can destroy you. Sleep, food, sex, entertainment, money, gist. Too much of what brings sin. Too much talking. Food,
Money. Gehazi. I'm sure Gehazi went to pay children's school fees. I'm sure he went to get the ticket to travel. I'm sure he only went to buy a car. He has been walking on the street for weeks, months.
So everybody has a reason to do what is wrong. You must fight that battle.
Fight it. In your conduct, what has suddenly showed up? In your appetite, in your ambition. Suddenly, all you are talking about now is making money. Making money. Making money. I want to leave the country now. 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 Someone engaged me last 2 years. Said, Pastor, things have never been the same. I've just lost everything. I know when we're under you. She mentioned the time. We let this, we let that. What happened? Oh, I said, well, when you were traveling, did you pray about it? Who did you tell?
So an advertisement. Was it the Holy Ghost that put it there?
Advertisement. Things are trending. They began to share it on your WhatsApp. You saw it. Ah! Say, this is an opportunity. I'm a medical doctor. I'm a nurse. I'm an accountant. I'm a lawyer. They need us. They need us. They need us in the nations. They need us. They need us. You didn't pray? You were not led by the Spirit? You jumped on it. Ah, hey, you don't know where you are. You think the devil loves what you are doing. Before you knew it, you changed your job. The job wasn't any humiliation, but it was giving you enough time to serve the Lord. You had enough to eat, you took care of your family, you had enough to give. Then you say, ah, then you see one friend, the guy just brand new car. Hey, pam, 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 pam. The guy said, I got this job. This is a fellow who does not even serve the devil. He has nothing to serve it. Then he said, ah! This guy. Already, Satan has given you invitation to treat. Then, that guy's car is in your head all day. All day. It's in your head. You can't, you are in church, pastors explain new creation. You say, new creation, how? I said new car, I said new creation. Pastor is talking about in all the earth, in all the earth. It's not my business. I don't want to go to all the earth. I want to go to Canada. Oh, the nation doesn't have to be a nation. The nation is people are running in Raja, people are running in Ketu, who are in Somalu. I want the one in America. Oh, look, this church is too extreme.
He has stopped watching over himself.
Somebody heard all we hear, taught all we teach in this church. More power God even has people here
that was brought here to this church. And became an atheist.
Somebody close to me, oh, became an agnostic, then an atheist, and questioned everything in scripture. And I'd warned the person years ago, I said, watch your ambitions, or else your ambitions will deal with you. See, me here and you, there's nothing we cannot become. If we let the sheep of our lives get controlled by this world,
I
can become an atheist. If I let go, I just allow my sheep. Imagine now, if you drive, I just leave the car, leave the brakes, say, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Are you the one driving? You left your life to something to just drive it. You let Twitter guide you. Facebook. People in your office, they are talking, they are listening.
When they will get you to where you are going, you'll be shocked.
When you cannot put control, you have war. Fight it.
Are you following?
Are you following? So, there's the war over your own life.
war over your own life. Let's quickly say this. Who is the enemy? It's not men. Men are used. The enemy is Satan. The enemy against your soul, against your ministry, is a spiritual being. No amount of psychology can cure it. No amount of working it out. I used to tell believers this for years. See, when it comes to evil, Satan is more experienced than you are. How many years have you been around? Worst case, you are 60 years, 70 years. You are talking about a devil that has been since the beginning. What do you want to think that the devil doesn't know? What? Tell me! You now underrate the devil. You can never beat him at his own game. He thinks more. Widely. In fact, the thoughts are his own. Satan is the enemy. Demons, they are demons against your fellowship, against your church, against yourself, against ministries all over the world, the flesh, and the world. So, somebody is pushing against your ministry. That's not the enemy. Somebody begins to go around speaking bad news about your ministry. That's not the enemy. A guy goes to come and destabilize your flock, your disciples. That's not the enemy. If you pick the wrong fight, you will lose. The enemy is unseen. The only place you can see that enemy is to go to where the enemy is. Look at this. If someone is there, right? Somebody is outside the auditorium, and you are here, running, shouting, hitting everything here. You are just missing your energy. Until you go to where he is, the enemy is in the spirit. So it's a spiritual warfare. It's in the spirit. So, the world is in the spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:3. If our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, because some guys don't like our ministry. No, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Even though those who arrested Jesus were human agents. In Luke 22:53, Jesus said, it is your hour and the power of darkness. May you never fight the devil in the flesh. It is a wrong battle. Not by press releases. Not by engaging on Twitter. Not by going to go and argue somewhere. No. Not by making a defense of your ministry. No. It's a spiritual war. That leads us to this. That means over the flock, there's war against Satan. War against demons. And evil spirits. And evil spirits. So how do I know that I am losing the fight? Because Paul says, fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 6:12. I have fought the fight. 2 Timothy 4:7. How do I know I'm losing the fight? Symptoms that I am getting weak in war. What are the symptoms? Because if there's war, there's an enemy. If there's an enemy, there are attacks from the enemy. If there are attacks from the enemy, that means there are symptoms. There are things that you can look out for and say, check what's going on. What's going on? What is going on Like I said, watch your appetites, watch your conduct, watch your ambitions. First symptom, you are just tired of the work. You are just dragging on. Many of us allow that period to get longer. At one point or the other, we get tired. You just get, sometimes it's mental tiredness. Mental tiredness. Oftentimes a product of unfulfilled expectations. David in Psalm 61 verse 2. When my heart is overwhelmed, what would you do? What we do oftentimes, we go and talk to the wrong person. You go and meet one guy, an unbeliever, an unserious Christian, and begin to say, I'm experiencing challenges. I'm facing trouble. David said, hear my cry, O God! Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed, he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When Jesus said, oh, if this cup can pass, yet not my will, but your will be done. In the midst of seeing the impending danger, knowing what will happen, he prayed to God, the Father, a co-equal, but in his humanity, now his master. Don't go to the wrong place. When your heart is overwhelmed, you are suddenly tired, weary. In 2 Samuel 2 and 15, David was weary of war. Sometimes you are just weary of too many things you are handling at the same time. I just sorted this one out. Another one comes up. I just sorted that one out. Another one comes up. 2 Samuel 12. 21, sorry. And verse 50. He says, David waxed faint. He was weary. Too many battles. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You're just weary. Weary of the same things. Praying. Studying the word. Preaching. Suddenly you are tired. Oh! You are even physically tired. 1 Timothy 5:23. Paul, writing to Timothy, he said to him, that often infirmity that you have, take no longer water, but wine, little wine, for your stomach's sake, shows you that your physical health is important. Philippians 2. Epaphroditus, I tell pastors this a lot. Be careful. Of course, not bad care, or let's say carefulness, but be cautious. Epaphroditus, Paul said he was near unto death, verse 26 and 27. Philippians said, God had mercy because of the work sick. Sickness is not from God. Sometimes when you are careless with your body and your health, you open up to the devil. Tiredness. Trophimus had left in Miletus sick. Lazarus felt ill, even though he was with Jesus. Trophimus was with Paul. Timothy was with Paul. Epaphroditus, same thing. So you take care of yourself. Overwhelmed. Weary. Something you have to do with immediately. What if you start getting grumbled? You start getting grumpy. You are just grumbling and complaining. It's a symptom. A symptom that you have dropped your guard. You are now complaining about the flock, about the church. Suddenly you are talking about church services. Oh, it's too long. Oh, there are too many meetings. You!
Not you. So you are saying, we have too many things to do in LMA. Oh, we are doing this, we are doing that work, we are doing that work. Something is happening to you. Things you are used to, you are not complaining. I have to do follow up. I have to pray. Something you were excited to do. Full of joy doing it. Full of joy doing it. Under persecution, you did it. With money not in your pocket, you are doing it. Now, you are complaining. Then, you begin to criticize. You have been attacked of the devil. Then dishonor sets in. Numbers 12, 1, 2, and 3. Miriam and Aaron. They had gotten weary of most leadership. When you are too used, it's the same thing. Is it not Pastor Jakes? Is it not for today? You know. And then dishonor sets in. They now started to use the kind of language they would never have used for Moses. They forgot where they were coming from. The flesh presents itself in legitimate criticisms. Begin to murmur Philippians 2:14, 1 Corinthians 10:10. Then you start to feel they're not giving you attention. Oh, Pastor Funke has not been calling me. But Bentley, he doesn't pick my call. You feel others are getting the attention. Or the person is getting too much attention. Then the spirit of Judas comes upon your soul. And then before you knew it, you go and give heed to the things you were warned about. You became friends with the Pharisees. I'm not getting attention. Or you start feeling you are competing with somebody in your church. What's going on? And losing the battles. Competition. I am not being compensated. I'm not getting what belongs to me. Absalom. Hope you are not forgotten Absalom. I'm better than this. I should be doing something else about what I'm doing now. Too many meetings, too many prayer meetings, too much work to do. And losing the war. Symptoms that you are dropping the ball of demonic frustration. Demonic attacks. You are overwhelmed. Rather than pray, you complain. You are overwhelmed. Rather than feed on the word, you begin to abhor dishonor in your heart. Disloyalty comes in. Then you start being not submissive. You stop submitting reports, stop showing up about meetings. You show those truth gradually because you have now become a captive in the war. Pride will set in. Look at David. David, Samuel, two men were under, as it were, two bad leaders. Eli, Saul. David had every opportunity to be disloyal, to be grumpy, to fight back, to kill Saul. But he never did. He never did. You don't yield to demons. Give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Satan is active around you. Did you hear what I said? Satan is active. And Satan does not show up wearing black. 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul. In verse 18. Wherefore would have loved to come to you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us.
Go and read Paul's letters very well. Satan was everywhere. So I say, don't be demon conscious. Nobody is asking you to be demon conscious, but don't be unconscious. Don't be unconscious. Ha! You just get up, you are complaining, you think you are just, oh, Satan has gotten you. At war. Never complain about ministry. It is a privilege. If you do, it will be withdrawn. You'll be like a fan whose power has gone up. It's just rolling. Last minute. Never complain. Lift one hand. Say it's a privilege to serve God. Lift it high. Lift it high. Say it's a privilege to serve God. If I complain. Say if I complain. God will use somebody else. Say if I complain. God will use somebody else. It's not salvation. It's service. Somebody else will do your work. Use me! Don't replace me, Lord. It should be your prayer. When you start to murmur, you start to give excuses. Deliberate excuses. You start to think that ministry is disturbing your life. Somebody else will do your job and you'll be shocked. It could be a disciple. It could be somebody who is not yet saved. See, as long as the earth remains, hear me, the whole earth will be filled with his glory. You are the one that won't be there. It's an honor. A privilege. Offenses are now common around you. It's easy for you to say something in your room about your pastor, about the flock. You now joke about those under your care. Satan has attacked you. Things you used to hold dear, in awe. You now talk about it without respect. You are losing the war. Demons function in your office. Hope you know. Do you know? They function in your community. They function on TV. And they will write demons on their faces. Influence your thoughts. Influence your behavior. Influence your attitude. So watch your life. Did you hear me? The moment you see those things creeping, fight. Fight back. Fight back. Don't complain. Seek God's face. Seek Him in prayer. Seek Him in the Word. Don't wait till offenses go into grumbling, disloyalty, dishonor. Before you know it, you are now lose light. All you are just talking about is yourself. The you that will cry for hours. Is it the same you? The you that will walk hours to preach the gospel. That same you. You thought Satan sat back when you were casting out devils 5 years ago? You thought those demons you cast out would keep watching you? You thought those people you snatched from the power of darkness, Satan sits back and do you think there's no Satan? You think that you are teaching God, people are hearing God's word, they are growing, you are healing the sick, you are casting out demons. So Satan just says, Jesus said, they will come back with 7 wicked spirits. Comes back to hit. In ministry, you are in a spiritual battlefront. Did you hear what I'm saying? Over the flock, you have work to do. John 10. Jesus said, the hireling will flee when the wolf comes. That means wolves will come. Acts 20, verse 29. Grievous wolves will come to the flock of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3. There could be divisions and carnality will just spring up in the congregation. 1 Corinthians 5. the flesh will just happen. 2 Thessalonians 3, some people just disobey your instructions. There will be disorder. Those things will arise. You see division in your flock. Lack of focus. Grievous wolves. It's time for war. Don't complain. Don't sit down and begin to grumble. Lack of growth. No. Disorder. No. Darkness. What do you do to darkness? Teach the word. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4. What do? You pray. All Paul's prayers were about light, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. You pray. No amount of counseling Pastor Larry will give you. Pastor Lola will give you. Satonia will give you. We work. You will do the job yourself. No amount. You are secretly, Pastor James come and help me talk to them. Let Brother Ben come and talk. No. Let Brother Dan come and talk. It is your war. It is your war. You are the one that will kneel down and start to pray. You say your flock is not stable and you eat eba in the morning, laugh in the afternoon, yam in the evening. You are finished. You don't even know what you are doing. You feel out time to be eating shawarma. Shawarma. You are moving from shawarma to pizza, ice cream. They are still calling for party. You are going everywhere and your flock is suffering. You are mad. You are losing the war. Your members are not growing. The things you are doing in the assembly, people are falling sick right, center, left. The passion for ministry is dwindling. And you have time to be attending engagements. What do you think you are doing? What do you think you are doing? Paul said in Galatians 4:19, my little children whom I travail at bat again. So I say again. Again. Till Christ be formed in you. He saw that in Galatia, things were going wrong. Paul began to labor again. Again! Fasting. Prayer. Prayer. Vigil. Vigil upon vigil. Because Jesus said, the resurrection is like a woman who is traveling. She's in pain. Eventually, a man is born. In Isaiah 6 verse 7, Isaiah 6 verse 7, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth children. You will pray. You must know how to use your knees. Vigils. Spend time. Put their names before God like this. And begin to pray. No amount of counseling from your pastor can help it. You will do the job yourself. People you cannot do vigils over, they are not your flock. You can't take 2 weeks fasting, pray, crying. When last did you cry? All you do is complain. Have you cried? Where are the tears? You face the floor. Roll on the floor. Because it's war. Satan wants you to complain, but you will fight back. Fight back in prayer. Fight back with fasting. Fight back. You begin to, as you pray, you will see. God will give you some words that you begin to speak. Things will begin to measure up. You will give the fight back. Anything that comes against your ministry, it will fall for it. Because you are going to pray. You are going to spend nights
night.
Now you say, I don't know what was going on.
Did you pray? Have you, or you think it's, you're checking your phone. I'm saying the prayer that you know you are praying. You know you are fighting something. You will know it. You will know. You begin to pray. You begin to call people back from distraction. You call them back. Is it not an evil spirit that did it? And let the power of the Holy Ghost bring them back. You bend your knees and pray. Ministry is not fashion, no. Did you hear me? It's vision. You begin to rebuke, then you begin to sacrifice. Well, I'm not talking about you are crying on the field, on the road. Oh, I don't know. This guy is checking me. You are only complaining that they are wasting your time. It's not, but I'm saying in prayer, tears begin to come out of your eyes. Tears. And you are crying deep. Sometimes, hear me. Even when that fellow, because God cannot change people's will when you pray. Even when he's unyielding, that travail will birth other people. Yes. To birth others. That's why you see some people, they will have such men leave their churches, leave their men. God will raise other people. Because they will beckon on the Lord of the harvest, who will send for laborers into his harvest. You see some people, they don't know what, they don't know much. They can't quote too many scriptures. They don't know what you know. That prayer, they will fight and fight the devil till they win. Learn to pray. Learn to pray. You cannot be gentle with the devil. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can't be gentle. You fight. One, you preach and teach. Two, you pray for light to come. And it's travail in prayer. You rebuke, you sacrifice, and also you be the light. Be the light. Don't allow circumstances to remold your character. Be the light. Be the light. So, you are to fight wars. And because you are in this world, the world will seek to influence your church and your ministry. So before sermons, before that exegetical teaching, know that you are at war. The sermon itself is a weapon. The prayer is a weapon. The songs are a weapon. Your life is a weapon. Your words, the prophecies, they are all weapons. Saints Community Church, and all under the sound of my voice, are you fighting or are you watching? Is that how you are going to be looking? Till all those things drop on you, murmuring, weariness, criticisms, dishonor, disloyalty, the flesh, looseness, lightness, loquaciousness. Is that how you are going to look? Are you going to watch the flock? Pray for me, I close. Are you going to watch the flock distorted? Attention compromised. Are you going to just complain or are you going to pray? There is a spirit of prayer that should be on you. Let me talk about this. See, I pastored churches that closed right before my eyes. I just told you, I had days I wanted to just abandon everything and walk away from the country. That's the time to complain. But I remembered years before, how the same experience. You might never know what was lost when you ran. I would have run away. And I would have had the excuse. What's the excuse? The brethren did wrong. The brethren did this. I'm a young man. I can't waste my life. I can't ruin my life. And this even happened. This one happened. That one happened. And I just went up. I want to go and do my studies abroad. I was going to the United Kingdom then to read. I will never have known everybody here. I will have traveled
across the sea and dumped his community church in the sea. But you know what? Somebody else will be doing this. Yeah. It's only God that is not like him. He will replace you in 5 seconds. 5 seconds. I pray for myself, God, may I never be replaced. May I never be replaced. I'm going to face my challenges. I'm going to face my struggles. I'm going to face my personal battles. They will keep coming. But may I never be replaced. You will keep facing your battles. You will keep... See, problems will never go. Problems will never go. So, don't use that as an excuse. I'm not finished talking. I'm going to share an experience with you. Please look up. So when that happened, I became toughened. Problems will come right, center, left. I was a pastor and a student. I would leave my school to go and pastor. I know what my eyes saw. Of course, now I learned better. I would have handled things better. But that was what I knew. Everybody walked away. I called for a prayer meeting. Let us pray. You know what they were discussing in the prayer meeting? They were discussing me. In the prayer meeting, we are not arguing. No, don't let anybody control us. Don't let anybody. Everybody left. You know what? I'm not blaming them. God used it. You cannot be tough without troubles. How will you be tough? What is the depth of your ministry without troubles? What is it? Tea and bread. God used them. So I'm not in any way like Jacob said. No. I'm a Joseph. God used it for good. The person I was trying to marry also left. Same period. But I said, no, it's Jesus that won my heart. I just continued. I came to Yaba Tech here, started preaching. We didn't know what was going on. I didn't tell them. I didn't say, no, I didn't discuss anything with anybody. I didn't say that the church was closed in Ibadan. I just came here. Teaching. Went to Korodu and teaching. And continued. I took a 21-day fast. Made it 40. I got to the point I was walking like this. I said, no. I'm birthing nations. There was nobody listening to me. I'm birthing nations. Now hear me. I moved from a guy who in 98 turned down a church that the choir were about 200 people. Maybe 150. Just the choir. I turned it down. I now became a guy with nobody. From traveling around the country, having meetings almost every week, to having no meeting. They now gave me a meeting. I now sat down under the tree there in Yaba Tech. 5 people. I can mention their names. I took it with the same commitment. Morning, night, during the day, I would just be praying. I knew Satan was after something. Something more than what I was doing. But I was ready never to give up. Pray! If I don't know how to, I'll pray. I will cry. And I began to pray. I labored. Prayed. Discouragement was setting. Thoughts. At some point, somebody just, you know, Satan has a way he works. Somebody just brought an offer from New York. He said, come and go and do your bar abroad. I saw it. I feel before. But I said no. I know this. I've seen this before. I'll go to that New York, but not out of desperation. Not for commercial reasons. I'll go for a better reason. I'll stay in this country. God has not asked me to leave. And nothing will make me leave. Problems come to strengthen you. Don't run. Did you hear me? Don't run. But business can have problems.
Things can have issues. Career. Keep your eyes on the ball. I stayed there. I'm not perfect though. I'm still a man trusting God. So I'm not telling you I'm a hero. No, I'm just telling you an experience to learn from. I'll wake up at night, pastor, and I'll just be sad. And that fear will enter my room that you have finished. And I just get up again. I'll leave the room. As I pray. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I'll begin to rejoice alone. Come here! I'm walking on the streets. And I'll see people that I've discipled before. They just go from afar. I'll keep praying in tongues. Nothing dies in my hands. Nothing dies in my hands. And I'm praying. Fasting. Feed you. After a while, I found one Orioke. I was there 2 weeks. Just there. 2 weeks. I'll take Gary. Gary, water, Gary, just fasting. Till I develops the problem with my stomach. I said, no. At this age? No. I can't give up at this age. I'll give up when I'm 100 and I'm done. Whatever, say Satan, bring it on. Oh yeah. Your own is the problem, mine is the power. Oh yeah. That's not the time to complain. I didn't call anybody to complain. I didn't know. It's not time for that. So when I see you today, you say, Pastor, I don't know, 2 members, 3 members. You are not serious yet. You are not serious. You are still not serious. See, the thought of running away is demonic. The thought of giving up is satanic. Satan wants to set you up. Don't run anywhere. Stay there. Pray. Do vigils. Did you hear me? Do vigils. Take a break. Go 1 week. 1 week. And pray. And walk around. Begin to speak the word of the Lord. That same Ibadan is where Pastor Ayo is now. The same Ikoyi is where Brother Dan is now. Because I spoke by the Spirit of God. Said in these same cities, our work will be here. In these same cities. I'm talking 21 years ago of crying. I'll lie down like this overnight. God. There was a day on the mountain. I was seeing the sun like this. It was going to my eyes. I said, God, I see your glory. All over the world. I see your glory. You said to me, through Ross Tuttle, you said my voice will be heard. I know you spoke. And I believe it. I wasn't complaining. I was praying. Lift your voice and pray for yourself. Pray. Those of you watching, begin to pray.